Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day in worship, we are mindful that you present yourself to us as one God in three persons. And so today we celebrate the fullness of who you are in this Sunday of the Holy Trinity as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As we seek understanding, Lord, we pray that you would, by your Spirit, continue to help us to walk by faith and not by sight, to put our trust in your word and in your promises, and to empower us to live, not simply for ourselves, but for him who died for us. Be with us this day. Open our ears to hear, our hearts to understand, and our lives to show forth who you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Did I lose connection? Oh, don't switch it to laptop. Let's leave it on the... We have a sub this morning. Thanks, Avery. There we go. We'll get there. So today is the Sunday of the Holy Trinity. And it's one of those Sundays that, well, let's just say the subject matter is such that when I went to seminary, they broke it into several classes. You had this class on the Father, and you had a class on Jesus, and you had a class on the Holy Spirit. So I'm not sure how I'm going to cram all of that into a two-hour sermon today. But I'm going to try. One of the beautiful things about how God presents himself to us as the Holy, as a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is that he gravitates, and I believe he's created this in us, is that we have this affinity for the number three. We group things in three. You know, we put together, for example, our flag has, what, three colors, red, white, and blue. And so we naturally gravitate towards it in some of the stories of our childhood, the story of the three little pigs or the three blind, see, you know. And we do that. We put things into groups of three. We even do it with our names, most of us. How many parts to our name? First, middle, and last. For some reason, we gravitate toward that number. I believe that God created that into our lives and who we are, his body, mind, and spirit. We even talk about it that way. And so rather than trying to talk about the fullness of the Trinity today, however, this three-in-one God, I want to just kind of break it down into the whole idea of whose job is it anyway? What is the work of the Father, and what is the work of the Son, and what is the work of the Holy Spirit? So let's start with the Father. We know that, first of all, the work of the Father is in creation. And yet we know all three persons of the Trinity are there present in creation, because after God has made everything, and we know it started out with, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, we see that. And then he gets to the point of making man, and he says, let us create man in our image. And it's as if he is talking in the plurality of who he is, and yet as one God. And so this work of creation belongs primarily to God the Father. The scriptures refer to him as the architect, if you will, the mind behind it all. God Almighty, who brings together all of this creation that we know in our universe, in our world, and even in our own lives. And the complexity of who we are as human beings still astounds us. And we talk about science and medicine discovering new things about the human body all the time. And it just amazes me as we talk about those things, how some people will still say, well, it just happened. Wow. How can you dismiss the almighty creativeness of God in all of his splendor and glory when you look at the complexity of this universe and you begin to understand how fearfully and wonderfully it is made and how fearfully and wonderfully we are made? But it's not only the work of creation that belongs to God, as the scriptures tell us, it's also our God who provides for us. And we have to be careful here, because what God provides for us is not always exactly what we want. I mean, after all, I've been praying for another national championship for the Nebraska Cornhuskers for years. Now, I haven't gotten it. Apparently, God only provides what we need. And what I need and what he thinks I need are two different things for some reason. I'm not sure about that. But you know, we trivialize that sometimes. But sometimes we think that we can somehow, if I just pray hard enough or long enough, God will give me what I want. And we forget that what God really wants for us is not always what we want. You see, God's not there for us to use him at our convenience or to go to him when somehow things aren't exactly the way we want them to be. God is there to guide our lives, and God is there to provide us with the things that we need in the necessities of life and to use us as his children to help provide those needs for others. It's called stewardship, using all of life and life's resources to serve our Lord. And understanding how God puts those things in our lives so that we can use them to his glory. God provides to us what he knows that we need. But the very thing that we need the most, we sometimes turn around and walk away from. What we need the most is that relationship with him. An understanding of who he is and what he does for us. Which leads us really to that second person of the Trinity, his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is our Redeemer. The sole purpose of Christ was to come into this world and to die on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. It's in him that we have redemption through his blood. Forgiveness of sins, our trespasses washed away according to the riches of his grace. Redemption comes by Jesus Christ. The word reminds us that salvation is found in no other name than by the name of Jesus Christ. God sent his Son into this world because he loved this world and he wanted to redeem this world. But we know that the primary work of Jesus is redemption. But while he was here, he also walked among us and he taught and he performed miracles and he changed the mindset of how we're supposed to think about God. Or we might say he corrected the mindset that had become corrupted through the years of the Old Testament. To a point where people were simply going through the motions of being religious without understanding what was really all about. See, I think Jesus came into this world to personalize things, to bring things into a new light and a new understanding, to remind us that what God really wants is the sacrifice of our lives, not out of a sense of obligation, but rather out of a sense of gladness and joy and compassion. An understanding that God gave us everything. He created the life that we have and he redeemed it through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we are to live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died for us. And Christ comes to teach us those things. And he teaches us what it means to sacrifice, what it means to give your life up. I can't imagine what he went through knowing that he was facing the cross. And yet he did it for you and for me. He shed his blood, the nails were driven through his hands, and he died there for you and for me to open up the way of salvation for us. And when he rose again on that third day, he sealed the work. This work of redemption that he came to do, this work that was completed, this plan of salvation that his Father, the architect, had laid out thousands of years before. When man first sinned in the Garden of Eden, God laid forth that plan, and Jesus fulfilled it. The one who comes to redeem us, the one who opens up salvation to us, the one who grants us forgiveness and gives us a peace that passes all of our human understanding. This God, this man, that we call Jesus. And now the third person of the Trinity. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we as Lutherans are accused of ignoring the Holy Spirit, that we focus so much on Jesus Christ and we mention the Father, but the Holy Spirit, really, we kind of leave out of things. Well, wait a minute. What's the work of the Holy Spirit? The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to shine the light on Jesus Christ. He is the one who is in the background working. Any of you who've ever been to a dramatic play or performance on stage, what would happen if there was no lighting for that play? You would not see what is going on the stage. It's the Holy Spirit's job to shine the light on Jesus Christ, to focus on Jesus Christ, because salvation is found in Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit works through the power of the gospel, the word, to bring faith to us. And what is the word? He was made flesh, incarnate. Again, it's the word of Christ. He is the word, as John reminds us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the Holy Spirit uses the word, uses the message and the teachings of Jesus Christ to bring us to faith, to work that belief in our hearts and in our lives, even when we don't fully understand it. Faith comes to us, not by our own reason or strength or effort, but because God, by His Holy Spirit, is working in our lives to break down the barriers between us and Him by the power of the Word. And the Holy Spirit is the one who touches our lives in the waters of baptism. As the name of Jesus Christ is painted on our lives, He gifts us. And each one of us is gifted uniquely and differently. And He calls us to use those gifts in service to Him and in service to the church. And so some of us can play an instrument or sing, and other of us can't carry a tune in a bucket. But we come together and we make a joyful noise to the Lord as the body of Christ. And some of us can teach and some can proclaim, and others simply serve quietly, passing out meals to those in need. We have our gifts, and God calls us to use those gifts for the sake of the church, and the Holy Spirit uses those gifts, and He works those gifts in our lives because God continually, by the power of the Spirit, is shaping and molding us in our lives in the process that He calls sanctification. It's a fancy word, but it simply means the process of becoming like Christ. To be more Christ-like in our attitudes, in our lives, and in our hearts in this world. To have that servant mentality and to work together to bring others to faith. See, the work of the Holy Spirit is to take all of those gifts and talents and abilities that He gives to us and the ways that He's working in our lives and to bring us together to be many parts in the same body of Christ here in this place. Because just as He calls, gathers, and enlightens us in the power of the gospel to faith in Jesus Christ, He does the same thing with the church. And I'm a firm believer that in any church and in any congregation, as the Holy Spirit works, He makes sure that all of the right pieces and all of the right parts and all of the right gifts and skills and talents are there to do the work that He lays out for the church to do, because you see, that's the next step. When we talk about whose job is it anyway, it is the job of the Holy Spirit to work in the life of the church so that we are empowered, as Jesus reminds us, to make disciples. The head and the heart and the hands, to speak the good news, to show the good news, to live the good news, but on all of it to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And we believe that, and we teach that, and we confess that. So when people say, you Lutherans don't understand what the Holy Spirit's all about, I say, well, oh, yes, we do. You just don't understand what we Lutherans are all about. And that is serving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And loving our neighbors as ourselves, the two great commands that Christ gives to us. To take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And somehow God works all of that through this mystery of the Holy Trinity to see that His work is done, His work is accomplished and completed for His kingdom. Now, most of you know that I have this little book of questions that I'm going to take to heaven with me to ask God when I get there. And one of the top questions in the book is, and I'm guessing this might take a while, more than my 2-hour sermon this morning, could you please explain the Holy Trinity to me? But I'm not really sure I'm going to need to have it answered. Because when we go to heaven and we see Him face to face, I believe it's all going to make sense. And we're going to see Him in all of His glory and all of His power and all of His might. And we're going to go, oh, that's why you did it that way. But we live still here in this world. And we walk by faith, not by sight. And yet we celebrate the power and the presence of the Holy Trinity in our lives every day. Because you see, it's in that triune name of God that we were baptized. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God works in our lives. The power of the Father in creation is still ongoing and still working. The work of Jesus Christ and the redemption of sinners is still ongoing and still working. And the Holy Spirit continues to work in the hearts of people to bring them to that faith in Jesus Christ. God is alive and God is active. And He is working in your life and in my life and in the work of our congregation. In the work of His church. And when people say, can you explain the Holy Trinity to me? I look them in the eye and I say, how much time do you have? Because it's going to take a lifetime of exploring God's Word. And walking by faith together until we go home to heaven. But what an opportunity and what a path to walk in the presence of God, whose job it is to claim us as His own and to take us to heaven. Bottom line, that's what it's all about. In Jesus' name, amen.